But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Dear friends, Jesus is going to the Father, and you are sad that he is going away. Don't let your heart be filled with sorrow. Jesus is not forsaking you. He promises never to desert you. He promises to send the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you in your grief over your sins and over the sadness that you experience in this world. He will give you saving faith in Jesus Christ for this life and for your life eternal. Jesus comes to you in the upper room this Holy Thursday night. He fed you with his body and his blood. He washed your feet and he commanded you to love one another. And then he promised to send the Helper to you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the third person of the Holy Trinity, God himself with you. Jesus is going away. First he goes to the cross and he is laid in the tomb, and then we see him again 3 days later when he rises from the dead. But then 40 days later he ascends to the Father. And after that he sends the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, just as he promised. How can it make sense that it is to our advantage that Jesus is going away? How can Jesus leaving us be good for us? First of all, it is enough to trust Jesus at his word. If he says it, it is true. And yet, how will I be comforted without him? How will I be unharmed by the shocking and shameful treatment I suffer at the hands of those who want to destroy me and who want to rip faith from me? How will I stand up against the sicknesses that I experience, the hurt and the pain and the evil that confronts me in this earthly life if Jesus does not stay with me? Will I not then be defenseless and helpless and vulnerable, and without hope, without Jesus? You see, Jesus goes away to be present. To be present to the whole world. To all people. To all those who need faith in Christ and his eternal comfort. Even you. On this 24th day of May. The Word made flesh ascends to his Father in order to send his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will cover all the world with his Word, with the preaching of his Word, where he will create and sustain faith in all those who hear and believe, including you and me. The Holy Spirit will deliver Christ to all people through the preaching of the Word that takes place all around the world. The Holy Spirit will deliver Christ to all people all around the world, even at the same time with the feeding of the body and the blood of Christ that happens day after day. The Holy Spirit sends his servants from all the church, even from this place, to God's people here in the United States and throughout the world, to San Francisco and to Butte, Montana, to Davenport, Iowa, and Buffalo, New York, to the Dominican Republic and Hong Kong, to Tanzania and to Prague. And it is through the living Word of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives us more than all this. The Holy Spirit, through his church, transports us to a new kingdom, to a new kingdom. Even now, in the preaching of the Word, a kingdom of forgiveness and comfort and victory and courage against all evil. And it gives us an eternal life with him and all believers in Christ. Now begins the eternal age of Christ. His people restored to him, us forgiven by him, salvation given to his people. And Jesus speaks to his apostles and pastors, "I will receive power from my Father and give you the Holy Spirit, who will glorify me in the world." Luther paraphrases Jesus' words, "I will initiate and promote my eternal kingdom through you, and will perform miraculous works that the devil and the world will be frightened and be made subject to you." The world's hate for you may trouble you. It may scare you at times. It may cause your heart to be sorrowful. But the Helper is promised to you. Even as he comes to you this day in the preached word, the Comforter who puts Christ into your ears and into your mouth, giving you a comfort and a peace that the world cannot ever give. A comfort and a peace that Christ will never be separated from you. How can this be? Are these just words? Are these short-lived words that get you through your current crisis, whatever that is right now? Is the Holy Spirit meant to give you your best life now? To give you an emotional charge when the going gets tough? How foolish that would be, right? How pity we would be if our faith were limited to our time on this earth. The promise of the Holy Spirit is a truth that transcends this world and all time. It is a truth that gives comfort beyond this life, yet it begins even now as we were bathed in the font of baptism. How does this work? Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning sin. You know, that of adultery and murder, hate, theft, slander, gossip. We know that that's all sinful. Through the proclamation of the church, through the preaching of the word, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin in order to lead us to repentance. But also, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of unbelief, which leads them to eternal damnation. And yet Luther reminds us, Although we cannot be completely rid of sin in this life, although it still remains even in the saintliest people, yet believers have the comfort that this is covered by Christ's forgiveness and is not reckoned for their damnation if they continue to believe in Christ. The blood of Christ does not harm you. Rather, it forgives you. It puts faith in you. Faith believes that the blood of Christ surges through you to forgive you and to take away your sins and to take away your eternal hell. Dear Christian, put your sorrow away. Here is your comfort. You are bound to Christ who died and rose for you. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning righteousness. Jesus is not talking about the outward deeds of kindness that we do every day, trying to be civil to one another, contributing even to our community chest, all of which is quite good. Rather, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our self-righteousness, that is, our total lack of righteousness. Here is our righteousness, Jesus Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us to the cross of Christ. Here, Jesus makes us right before God, because here, Jesus took our sins into his own flesh and gave us his righteousness, his beauty, his holiness. And that's how the Father sees you now. Jesus ascended into heaven and indicts his pastors with the Holy Spirit to now proclaim this eternal favor to all of God's people through the blood and death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. Your soul is not in despair. Sorrow does not need to take over. The Holy Spirit convicts you that you are righteous in Jesus Christ, and you have eternal comfort and peace in you. And Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning judgment. It is quite surreal, isn't it, to watch the world race toward you, to enjoy it, to revel in it, to celebrate it, to die in it. When the celebrities of our day stand up in public and proudly boast of killing infants after they are born, making grand speeches and calling pro-life evil, and Christians in every sector being suspended, placed on leave, and court-martialed because of their faith in Jesus Christ, when will the world judge you for believing in Jesus Christ? Yet Jesus says the ruler of this world is judged. Martin Luther again. We should not let the judgment of the world worry us or induce us to follow it, but we should remain cheerful when they condemn us, and we should counter with the judgment and condemnation which Christ passes on the world and its prince. Hold comfort and peace in your heart, dear friends, as you believe and serve the Lord your God. You have the Holy Spirit. Promised him to you, and it is true. Once more, if you allow me to recite Martin Luther. The Holy Spirit and the Church are not concerned with anything that is subject to reason and that pertains to this temporal life and to secular government, such as the making of laws, how to eat and drink, becoming monks and nuns, having a wife and children, and remaining unmarried, differentiating between laity and clergy, obtaining and multiplying the property of the church, building and endowing churches. No, says Luther. The Holy Spirit occupies himself with other matters. That is, how to rescue men from sin and death by making the children of God righteous and heirs of eternal life. How to build the kingdom of God and destroy the kingdom of hell. How to fight against the devil and overcome him. How to give comfort, strength, and support to a believing conscience. The Holy Spirit does this in order that man may remain alive in the midst of death and may be able to keep a good conscience and God's grace, even though he is aware of his sins. And so, we continue throughout this day with the confident prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love."